Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, just in the nick of time, joins us.
Barely made it.
Glad you did.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Plenty to get to tonight. Really? A cut, a couple of trades on the docket.
Yeah, a little exciting this week.
A lot of left tackles on the market still. We'll get to that coming up. And go around the National Football League. We'll open the phone lines, 355-NFL1, the number. Get to some calls. Tony's favorite part of the evening.
Yeah, I love the calls.
Yeah.
And what combine up? Starts Monday, too, right?
Yeah. So I believe it starts officially like Thursday on the field stuff.
Okay.
Or Friday, one of those two.
We're pretty much the entire league is going to be there Monday through the week and then through the weekend and the first part of the week.
There are league meetings like Monday, Tuesday, like PR meetings and other meetings, players association meetings, all this stuff goes on. And then we're flying up Tuesday. Our coverage begins Wednesday from Radio Row. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We actually have some stuff Saturday. The on-field workouts, I think the last ones are Monday even, the Monday after.
Right.
So it kind of comes in waves there. People come and go.
And you will be doing Jaguars Thursday from the Combine.
Next Thursday.
Yeah, next Thursday.
Like a week from tonight.
Which means we get off, Tony.
You guys are off.
Oh, I know.
That's pretty good.
What do you got planned?
I'll be gone the next week, too.
But no, that wasn't cleared, was it?
Yeah, I told Joe.
Oh, really?
Going to London for the Jags.
Oh, okay. So, are you going to call in from London? Be great.
I could, I guess.
6 plus 5, yeah. That's 11. 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
I could do
that. Way early for you over there.
Yeah, I'm excited.
What are you doing over there?
There's a sponsor event, a round table about American football in the UK and the growth of it and all this stuff. And like some people from the NFL offices or I don't know who's all involved. I just know I'm on the round table, which I'm excited to do. But you know what I'm really excited about? I'm going on.
Long plane ride?
Nah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Saturday night going to see Fulham play at Newcastle.
Oh, it's a big game,
That'd
too.
Be cool.
Big game. Newcastle's top of the table, right?
Well, I got a question.
Yeah, they're number
one.
Okay, they're number one.
We're number seven. We're 6 points. We have one less game than everyone else in the top six.
Wait, well, I love how he says we.
Yeah, well, it's Fulham. It's us, baby.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Where is Newcastle at?
I don't know. I have no idea.
They're in England.
Well, I kind of figured that.
They're in first place.
Where's their stadium? Where
I
do they
know.
Play?
It's in Newcastle. I don't know. Up north somewhere.
Joe, okay. Could you do some research and find out where Newcastle is, please, for us?
Yeah, Joe will do it.
So where the beer's from? Newcastle beer, right?
I have no
idea.
No?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be cool because it's a big match, and you know, the top two in the table at the end of the season automatically go to the Premier League. The next four have a playoff to determine the third team.
We're one out of the
playoff
right now.
There you go. So, and some games left. You get hot, stay hot. They're hot right now.
They got to win a lot.
Got to win, need some help, and we'll see what happens. So, that'll be fun, a couple weeks here in London. It'll be just Jeff and I back here.
Yeah, I can call in, though, Thursday night after the round table. It'll be good.
Yeah, I'd like to hear how it went and what it was all about.
I'll definitely call in.
Let's start off with the football news this week for the Jaguars. Jared Odrick, no longer a member of the Jaguars.
Rumor has it, JP, that Jeff made the phone call saying you're cut.
Really? Did
That's
you?
The rumor.
And he was on the beach and took the call from you?
No, I had nothing to do with that. I think he accomplished that all on his own.
Oh.
All on his own.
Joe, are you ready to tell us something?
Joe Fortunato.
289 miles north, straight up from London.
Told you.
It's far.
It's where the beer's
where the Newcastle Stadium is.
Yes.
So I think we'll take a train up there is my guess. So it'll be good.
You definitely don't want to take a car.
No, it'll be train there, and I got to be back by 3 o'clock the next day. So
ooh.
Plenty of time.
For a flight.
Yeah. Got to do it. So Odrick's out.
Yeah, sorry, back to football.
Yeah, that was expected.
I mean we talked about it for weeks around here.
You know, we talked about it.
Jeff and I talked about it for about months.
Yeah.
Since week three, right?
Well, yeah.
For Jeff.
Yeah, since week three. You know, and look, the simple fact is that unless you're a highly productive player, which, you know, he was not, and he wasn't available for a lot of games, Jared Odrick was, I don't think he was the best locker room guy. And when you put all of those things together, it doesn't mean that you get to stay. Not at $8 million. I mean, look, if you're making $8 million, you need to have a high level of pay. You need to be a good locker room guy. And if you have had some injuries, he did have legitimate injuries.
Right.
But you got to have the other two things if you have been injured.
And yeah, you can overlook the injuries if everything else is good.
I thought that was a very easy decision to make.
What else happens? What's the next decision on the defensive line to make up for a guy not on the roster anymore?
Well, I think you got to sign Tyson.
Yes. And look, I think that can get done because you're not talking about a lot of money, for Tyson Alualu. I mean, when I say a lot of money, we're not talking, we're talking probably a couple mil.
Yeah, certainly not an odd.
It's a lot of money to rest everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a lot of money when it comes to the National Football League, but – look, he's a good, solid football player, and there's nothing wrong with keeping a guy like that. The big question that I have, that we don't know and we're not going to know until we start to lay our eyes on it is, what are they going to play? Are they going to be playing the exact same scheme that they played over
the last few
years? Mm-hmm. Will that strong side end evaporate? Because, here's my question. Look, if you go and you sign, let's say, a premier left defensive end in free agency. Do you want a premier left defensive end playing in a 4B? No.
Is there any premier left defensive ends out there?
But here's my thought process. When I say that, look, if you go sign Jason Pierre-Paul, which he's been predominantly a right end, open right side end. Guy right. for the New York Giants, but, he's got the size certainly to play left end and probably can do it pretty well. Do you look at maybe finding ways to get, a JPP on the field at the same time as an Ngakoue or Dante Fowler, and have those guys out on the field same time together? And if you do that, you're not going to put Dante Fowler as a left end and play JPP as a right end. It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. So, my thought process is, and I had this conversation with some of the defensive coaches over the last couple of years, and I was always curious to wonder why they had the 4B concept in their defense. And the reason that they do it is that it makes the run defense very stout, and it takes less pressure. It takes pressure off of other positions to be able to fit. And look, I played in a Pete Carroll defense for years when he was our defensive coordinator in New York. And we didn't have a 4B. Occasionally we would play a real tight five, but we didn't play a 4B. And it was, trying to pass rush as a 4B.
Can't.
It stinks. It's hard. I don't want to say it's impossible, but you have to be a defensive tackle type to be able to do it, like a Jonathan Allen from the University of Alabama. But look, if you're going to have a defensive end and you want him to rush the passer, because my argument was why have a 4B? Because, look, you don't get beat for the most part in the league by giving up some runs. You get beat on explosive plays in the passing game, and the quarterback, when he sits back and he's got – plenty of time. So look, if you give up, 5-yard pass, isn't that better than giving up, 15, 20-yard passes?
My argument would be, I think the philosophy is if we can win on first and second down in the run game and force those longer situations and get them in nickel, we're going to be a nickel anyways with four pass rushers out there.
Yeah,
and that's what it does.
Yeah, but you got to have the rush to back that up.
With that 4B, that's what Seattle's done for years. They got that 4B, they stopped the run, they're good on first and second down.
But I mean, that's really the only family tree in the National Football League that plays 4-3, that has the 4B as a staple. Some, but they don't really do it as much as Seattle and as much as the Jaguars.
You talk about they more go more single eye safety cover three Seattle system than.
But they don't play a lot of 4B though.
Right.
They play more five. Where the defensive end on that side is on the outside shoulder of the tackle. So anyway, it'd be a great discussion, and at some point I'd love to have that conversation with some of the coaches and find and get different opinions. I mean, to find out because when the Giants went and won Super Bowls, when they had Strahan and all those other guys, they didn't play a 4B.
No. There's a lot of different ways.
Justin Tuck was a five.
There's a lot of ways to get it done.
Yeah.
So one thing you can do though. You talk about, how do you fill that position? If you're going to stick with that 4B, a guy who'd be great in that position, especially if you were able to get a Jonathan Allen, put him at three technique, and Malik Jackson would be a great 4B.
Which he played, they essentially played the 4B.
That's what he did in Denver. Exactly. I mean, he was a 3-4. He's a two-gap, four head-up guy, and he was outstanding at it.
But, you know, the whole reason we're talking about this, you know, it started with the question of Tyson Alualu. Look, if you're going to play, you know, the defense that you've played in the past where you have a 4B, then Tyson, I think, it makes sense
great.
To sign him.
High value.
Because, you know, he was the best 4B player, better than Jared Odrick, over the last, you know, certainly this past year. And the year before that, I thought Tyson had an excellent year playing the 4B. So it would make sense to sign him if you're going to still have that incorporated into your defense. If you're not, okay, then do you really have a premium on re-signing Tyson Alualu? Maybe not. Maybe not.
But then you have a premium on your short defensive ends because you don't have it.
You need to go get some bodies out there at that point.
You don't have any big right ends.
No.
Or left ends, excuse me.
Other big news this week, Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald breaking the news that the Dolphins and the Jags could be doing business. March 9th is the start of the league year and when trades can go through, but he's reported that the teams have made trades. Julius Thomas to the Dolphins for a late-round pick. Brandon Albert, the left tackle, coming this way for a late-round pick. Apparently, both are somewhat done deals. March 9th, they become official.
I want to get Tony's thoughts on Brandon Albert. I mean, first of all, I love the guy because he's a Virginia Cavalier. Mm-hmm. But
can't
you know,
go wrong with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we got to get past that and look at him as a football player. And what are your thoughts?
He's had nagging injuries. When he's healthy, he's good. Good player. It's an upgrade. He's a big physical guy. I think he got a little heavy at the end of the last year and it affected his play a little bit. I read online, I think Prisco's out there tweeting about Melvin Ingram had a big game against. Okay, it's one game. You can't make judgments about guys based on one matchup in one game. I mean, a lot of guys struggle throughout the years, you know, in certain matchups or whatever. But as far as a big, long, prototypical left tackle that is a good pass blocker, physical in the run, and I think still has, you know, 2 or 3 years of football left in him, I think it's a good trade. I think it's a real good trade. He's done it for a long time. He's made a couple Pro Bowls. I saw him here. He looks like his weight's a little bit better. I mean, he's one of those guys who's got to stay in shape and keep his weight under control, but he is a big man, athletic, good feet. You know, does he get lazy sometimes or get in trouble bending a little bit at the waist? A lot of tall guys do. I mean, that's one of the things as a big man you got to guard against. So I like the trade. We talked about it, Jeff. I mean, I think the reason you look at Kelvin Beachum is you looked at last year and the knee never got better. And I think that and the opportunities they felt like, I think these conversations probably been going on a little bit with the Dolphins.
Yeah, we don't want to look, it's probably a lot easier to not pick up an option on Kelvin Beachum.
When you know Brandon Albert's out there.
Yeah, when you got options.
The combination of the two of going, is Kelvin 100% healthy? Because I don't. Maybe he is. We have no idea. But my guess is the team knows.
Yeah.
Because
he hasn't proven it on the field.
Would
yet,
it be safe to say? Yeah. Sure. Would it be safe to say, guys? But at the end of last year, he was not 100%.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And never got there.
I don't know. I don't think you could say that he was better at the end of the year than he was earlier in the year. And that's the biggest thing.
And that's what concerns you. So that, coupled with the fact that because of that, he struggled at times. I thought he was fine pass blocking. I mean, he had some games it wasn't great, but he was fine.
I think
but
he's
the run blocking was an issue.
And I think he's going to be. I think he will be a bargain for somebody because somebody's going to end up signing Kelvin Beachum, and I expect his knee to get better because that's typically what happens. You know, the first year is always a struggle dealing with an ACL. Look, Tony went through it. I went through it. You know,
but
we
Jeff,
felt like we got better, which he didn't. But you know, look, that first year is a struggle.
It is.
You know, it's a struggle, which typically it gets better, but for some guys it hasn't gotten better. And I expect him to get better. And, you know, he's probably going to go and sign a deal for somewhere in the range of, you know, 7-8 short-term contract, you know. Maybe not even that much. You know what I mean? I see you're shaking your head. You might
be
right.
Only because you have other guys out there.
But if he's healthy, he's going to be a good football player for somebody.
Listen, I thought if he's healthy – and you got to Kelvin Beachum before the knee, that's what you wanted. It would have been a good signing. I mean, that was why we thought it was a good signing last year. And I like Kelvin. I like, you know, it's important to him. He works at it. I mean, he's a technician. There's a lot of
good attitude.
It's a lot of great things about Kelvin Beachum. But if your knee isn't responding and you have other opportunities out there with a Brandon Albert at the same or a lower price tag than you were going to have to pay him, It makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, and a Julius Thomas trade, you know, you're basically, you know, it's kind of an even swap without it being an even swap player for player wise, because they're both late round picks. And I think the Jaguars are giving up, what is it, a late 2018 pick supposedly for him, and then obviously Julius Thomas, I think.
A late round pick this year.
Seventh round pick.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they get something this year out of it. And look, even though it was reported that, you know, he got his, what was it, an option bonus or something, Julius got picked up by the Jaguars at that point. Like, look, you know, that doesn't mean anything yet. You know, because there's some kind of language in contracts that state that even though the Jaguars paid that and what was the terminology used
picked
for?
Picked up the option or the
– It was a –
Some kind of bonus.
Some kind of bonus.
Yeah.
But anyway, that bonus, I guess, certain bonuses get – in other words, so when Julius leaves and goes to the Dolphins, the Jaguars will get credit for some of that bonus that was paid because of the language of the bonus. And look, I'm not an expert on all those numbers. I just know that it made sense for the Jaguars to pick up that bonus that they did pay – because they could get it back if they were able to trade Julius Thomas, which they were.
And before we go to break, and I know, because I see you got your paper, you're really anxious to get out there and
yes,
break.
I am. I'm ready to tell people about loyalty pricing. But go
one
ahead.
Of the things, and I've read on Twitter, I think Ron O'Halloran said, oh, he was misused here.
Julius
was misused here. I would just challenge anyone who says he was misused.
Was that his opinion, or was that him using thoughts from somebody else?
That's what Ryan O'Halloran, his opinion.
He
was.
Has some statistics on it and about how far down the field the ball went a few times.
And so I would ask anyone who wants to do that, if you believe that's your opinion, which is fine, I respect it, go turn on the tape from the last 2 years and show me where the separation was and where he was running down the field, creating that separation.
It wasn't misused.
And areas for Blake to throw the ball. Just show me. That's all I want to see.
Renew your season tickets by February 28th and take advantage of loyalty pricing. You'll
Can
pay
I ask
the same price. What?
I'm looking up on the screen. Why does everyone look so unhappy?
On Jaguars.com. Yeah, they're intense. We're ready to.
It's like really serious.
Yeah, they are.
Coughlin's got like a semi smirk, which, you know, for him, that's probably a smile.
Douglas like he wants to go fight everybody.
Yeah.
Win today, they say, right?
And Ngakoue looks like he's confused.
Led the team in sacks, though. You can get priority purchasing power for concerts at Daly's Place as well. Call 633-2000. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
It pretty much tells all the players and the fans that there's going to be a stable base. And even though some changes had to be made, David Caldwell, I think, has brought in a lot of good young talent to that team. And I've been a Tom Coughlin fan for a lot of years. He coached my younger brother at Boston College. I know Tom and what Tom's all about. So I'm a big fan of his old school feel for the game of football. And I feel the same way about Doug Marrone. So I think Shad Khan and his group made a statement that we believe David can develop talent, and they believe that Tom Coughlin and the new coaching staff will draft and develop also.
Mike Mayock on Jaguars.com Live earlier this week.
Has he put out his first mock yet? I don't think he has.
He only does one mock, and it's the day before the draft.
Yeah.
He does his top five for each position.
Has he done that yet?
He's done that.
Okay,
that
I got to read his. I haven't seen it yet.
And it's always interesting to read. Everybody goes nuts about it. And then
he's very good.
Very well-respected opinion.
Yeah,
in,
he's very good.
In the draft process.
I don't think there's anybody that's out there that first of all, he has a great opinion that he forms himself. And I think also that he also has, I think, a lot of insight into what some of the general managers around the National Football League think. So, because a lot of people respect him around the league, and so they talk to him. And it's not like they're telling him what they're going to do. You know, he's not giving people that information, but I think he is very well-versed in conversation about prospects from his own opinion and then also talking from others, and has a pretty good feel for where people fit and where they don't fit.
There you have it.
I agree.
I like the guy.
The interesting thing about the draft, and I know – we'll get more and more into it. But all this talk about running backs and the Jaguars has me a little concerned.
It doesn't.
I don't want us to pick a running back for it.
Why not?
I don't know, Tony.
I think there's other needs.
I like big guys at the top of the draft.
I do too. I want big people. I want big.
We're a little biased in that category.
I think big human beings win.
Is there an offensive lineman worthy at four?
No, but Jonathan Allen is.
Yes.
Yeah, there's defensive lineman. Miles Garrett. Won't be at four.
If he were, Jonathan Allen is. If Jonathan Allen's there, I hope we take him. That guy's a big.
He's a grown man.
Huge. Man.
Yeah, I got to watch some of the other guys.
So is Leonard Fournette.
I watched the big guy. Obviously,
I watched Dalvin Cook, and so does Mayock.
Miles Garrett, I watched him, and then I watched Jonathan Allen, and I watched a guy by the name of Solomon Thomas from Stanford.
Big man. Yeah,
he's a big guy. You know, he's kind athletic. Of a three technique, you know, strong side end, whatever you want to call it. You know, and he's
a pretty good
player. Yeah, he's okay, but he's a significant step down from Miles Garrett. And
how about Derek Barnett?
Jonathan Allen. I haven't watched him yet.
I haven't either.
But, when you say that, I'm kind of disturbed by the talk about running back. Today I watched Leonard Fournette.
Mm.
Remember last week I watched Dalvin Cook? You know, and I didn't really rave about him. I thought he was a good player, fast, you know. I mean, obviously he is the workhorse of the Florida State Seminole offense this past year. Leonard Fournette, I think he's in another category.
Mayock would disagree with you.
Really?
Dalvin Cook
Okay, well, good.
I don't know how the scoring happens for him. It might be close. Well, here's percentage points. Who knows?
One of the things, I
base my opinion based on what I see. You know, I'm not factoring in health, you know, et cetera. Leonard Fournette, look, he was hurt a lot this past year. And he did not have the same type of production that he had the year before.
Do you think he finishes runs as well as?
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Better.
And he's a large man too.
He's big.
But here's the thing:
he's strong and he's fast, and he can break the big one. Tony, here's the best part. I think what separates him from Dalvin Cook is that when Leonard Fournette gets in the open field, one person won't bring him down. They just don't. With Dalvin Cook, that happens.
Yeah.
But with Fournette, one guy will not get him down. When Dalvin Cook
gets in the open field, no one has ever caught
him. Well, he's gone.
Never.
No, I know, but when one guy comes and has an angle and can make a tackle.
Yeah, it runs him a lot of times.
Dalvin Cook will get tackled. Fournette, he's just a little different. He's got a little bit. And I love the power that he plays the game with. Now, here's the problem, though. He might not last long.
And the other thing is, Leonard Fournette got taken out by defenses.
Alabama shut him down all 3 years.
Florida.
Yep.
One of the years.
Yep.
Go find one defense that shut down Dalvin Cook.
ACC is terrible.
Okay, Florida. He ran for like 190, 200 yards. Just any defense that shut Dalvin Cook down.
Didn't happen. I don't know. I'd have to look at his
numbers.
And he
has runs of like 70, 75.
He's got long runs. Yeah,
smaller back. You know,
I've heard from people that he is a better pass protector than Fournette.
Let me ask you this, guys.
Might be.
He's every down back.
For this, in your guys' opinion, to draft a running back,
I wouldn't take either of them, though.
What needs to be done on offense to have it ready for a running back?
Well, you already had one step right there. You got Brandon Albert, okay, at left tackle. Okay. And then when free agency opens, you're probably going to go get a guard. Okay, so there's two steps right there.
Do you get a new right tackle?
No. Why is everyone so down on Parr now? I thought he finished the season good.
Here's the thing. Look, you always want to replace anybody. Look, if you can get somebody that's better at playing cornerback, than Jalen Ramsey,
you go get him. Right.
Okay, that's just the way it is.
But
so,
I don't think right tackle's a need.
No, it's not something that you're panicked. Like, oh my God, we got to get a right tackle because we're not good enough there. You know, but look, if you can upgrade right tackle, and if somebody made sense at round two,
then sure. Yeah.
You know, because I don't think there's any offensive tackles that are rated that high in the first round. But if the second round, if all of a sudden you've got a guy that you feel really good about and he's available, you take him. You take him, and if he can compete at right tackle, then so be it, compete at right tackle.
I like big people, though. I want big people. I want people that – this is a really deep draft at running back. I'm not saying you're going to get Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Cook-type player, but top of the second, there's going to be a – I mean, you look at these backs.
McCaffrey's a good player. I watched him today, too.
He's really good.
The same setup the year we got Yeldon, remember?
The kid at Tennessee. Now, Joe Mixon is high on – he's not even invited to the draft because he knocked that poor girl out. But he is a heck of a player. Now
– is an owner going to take a risk to get him, though?
That's a great question, JP.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, was he pretty good for Kansas City this year?
He was very good.
Yes.
Same Pro Bowl. Yep.
Would they get him in sixth round?
No one wanted him. You know why?
Yeah, he had
domestic
issues.
Violence.
Yeah. had issues.
Said he was changed and everything else. Kansas City took a chance on him.
Somebody will take a chance on Joe Mixon.
Someone's going to take a chance on Joe Mixon.
You know, I mean, it's just the way it is. But you know, when we say take a chance, we're not talking about in rounds one, two, three, or four. It's probably going to happen, you know, five, six, seven.
I bet you he's drafted
third.
Third or fourth round.
Yep.
He is that good.
He's real good.
Might be.
He's a good player. Really
and,
good player.
And what he did, if it was my daughter or wife, I'd kill him. He's supposedly said and done all the right things. I mean, and you look at a guy like Ray Rice, who's gone the extra, is really now an advocate trying to talk. But it's one of those things that once you do, it never – that never leaves you.
Nope.
And it's just
– not when it's on video.
Not, it just doesn't leave you.
Yeah, not this day and age, no doubt.
Not anymore. And it's – I don't think it's a mistake that can't be overcome, but it's really hard. It's really, really hard.
Well, I mean, Ray Rice never got back in the league. Mm-hmm.
You know, some people say part of that's because of his ability at the end, too. But I think it's both.
I think a lot of it has to do with the incident.
Because you know, what you're doing is what you're saying as a organization, what is viewed as, some people view that as you're condoning what he did, which I don't believe that. Because I believe people deserve second chances. My goodness, if every person who makes a mistake or say they can't go make a living and can't.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
So it's one of those, it's a hard, because what he did is, there's no excuse. I don't care what she said, what she did. I tell my boys, I don't care what that woman does.
You got to turn and walk away.
You walk away. They can be hitting you with a frying pan in the back of the head. Just keep on walking.
No, I wouldn't walk. I'd run.
Well, run.
Yeah, you might want to run.
But my point is, there's no excuse.
Hey, look, when there's a cast iron frying pan going on,
he's fast enough to get
it's
away.
It's time to go.
There's no excuse. Just you leave. There's no, and so it's just.
I might run faster than Aaron Rodgers than he did at the combine with the frying pan up. Coming out like me.
Remember a couple years ago when it was Gurley and Melvin Gordon were the top two running backs, and then it was like, everybody. And then
it was Yeldon those two and then everybody else.
Yeldon was the third running back pick.
But he was overpicked.
Who else was there?
You know who should have been maybe
who
picked?
Else?
There's a guy named David Johnson who had like
pretty good, pretty
right.
good player.
TJ Yeldon was overdrafted that year.
David Johnson was third, fourth rounder?
I mean, you look back and you look at TJ Yeldon, where he was drafted, and you look at his production the first couple years. I mean, wouldn't you say he was overdrafted?
He's been nicked up a little bit, but yeah.
Doesn't matter. He's been overdrafted.
He had, what, an ankle?
You know, even when he's been healthy, he was overdrafted.
Well, the fact – take away the injury. Take away everything.
But it is only 2 years, Jeff.
No.
Running backs, you know.
Forget about all that. Jeff's right about two things. One, running backs, you know right away. Number two is we would not be talking about even possibility of picking a guy in the fourth if he wasn't overdrafted.
That's a good point. Yep.
Nothing against TJ. I think he's a – good football player.
But if he's running for 1,200 yards a year, then...
Does anyone listening to us or anyone sitting at this table think TJ Yeldon is your bell cow running back?
Nope.
You think he is, JP? You're the biggest Alabama fan there is.
No.
Well, in today's world, if you pick someone at the top of the second round at the running back position, you're expecting him to be your bell cow. Otherwise, you don't pick him.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. That's check out Jack Anania's Audi Tide. Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today.
Yeah, you're excited.
For details. Beautiful new
like
A3.
Fake excitement, though. Fake
beautiful. Those are beautiful cars.
I know they are, but I know they're beautiful, but your delivery was very fake. And
theater of the mind.
Very disingenuous.
This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Looks like that.
The fact that we were able to be in the same system for another year, you know, have Coach Walsh be able to take over and run a very, very similar defense to what we'd run 3 years previous to that, and just to have a great understanding of the defense and know exactly where I need to be and how we're being attacked, and then your comfort level increases with that. I think that was a huge part of it. You know, working with our linebacker coach and our, you know, Todd Walsh, mm-hmm. our D coordinator, being able to work with those guys and have a great understanding of what I needed to do and what I needed to hone in on and focus on in the off season and leading up into the season made a huge impact. I was able to play with a clear mind.
Paul Posluszny today on Ozone Live on the Jaguars Facebook page, mm-hmm. becoming a Thursday staple. Talking about, he was asked about one of the best seasons in his career, and
I agree. It's a pretty good year for Paul Przelesny.
Look, he's a really good football player. And, you know, it kind of gets old to hear the questions, you know, that we had all last year is, you know, because he's playing so well and everybody's going, okay, when's Miles Jack going to play?
That's right.
And well, look, when Paul Przelesny is not playing well, then okay, then Miles Jack will see the field if that's the position that they're going to be playing him at. But until that happens, it's not going to change. And by the way, I don't even think we've mentioned this. Congratulations to the Jaguars' former linebacker coach Robert Saleh.
Yes.
For getting
the
defensive coordinator job with the San Francisco 49ers.
Great for him.
And Kyle Shanahan has hired him. And look.
And he just had his fifth kid. So
yeah, congratulations to him. Yeah.
Need that extra cheddar for that.
Babies need new shoes, and he can buy some new shoes with that defensive coordinator money.
It's good for him.
It is. He's a good guy.
Tough sledding, though, for him because they don't have a lot of talent over there.
No, they don't have a lot of talent. But you know what? He did a great job with Telvin Smith and Paul Przelesny. I mean, you watch the way they played. They played fast, and they played very assured of what their assignments and responsibilities were, which I think that's a sign of good coaching, you know. And I think he helped those two guys out a lot.
Really cool, man. No doubt about that. You know, we mentioned earlier Julius Thomas, the trade coming. March 9th is when the league year opens. So what happens at tight end now for the Jags? You got Mercedes around.
Koyak.
Ben Koyak.
I think Koyak's a good player.
He should really surprise me because I remember after he was drafted and I remember watching the film of him, you know, because he was like one of the most coveted recruits coming out of high school in the country, period.
Yeah.
Like the number one tight end prospect that year.
Oil City, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and watching his film at Notre Dame, I was like, you know, he's a bubble guy. And that was kind of my first thoughts on him was, look, he's a bubble guy. He's probably always going to be one of those guys that you know, is going to probably fight to make the roster, fight to make, you know, contribution somewhere in the offense. And I give him credit. I think he's exceeded my expectations for him. I'm not saying that, look, he's a frontline guy that's going to be a star, but he's a good, solid football player.
Could this team go in, Jeff, this year with Mercedes Lewis, Ben Koyak, and Neil Sterling as their three tight ends?
I think because of the development of Neil Sterling, and I think I'm kind of excited for him, I think it'll be okay.
I do too.
If you don't have an opportunity to address the position.
No, I think unless you're trying to upgrade there, just like a lot of different places.
Yeah, if you're going to run the ball,
though. But is it
the
end of it? Is it end of the world if that happens?
No.
Because Mercedes is still an above-average blocker at tight end. He's better than most tight ends out there. Ben Koyak, I thought he improved as a blocker.
Yeah, I thought he had a good year.
And as far as – and this is why I go back to – everyone who says, you know, Julius was misused and, oh, gosh, they should have given another year. There was zero drop-off, if not an increase, when Neil Sterling became your move tight end.
And I don't know. Look, I think the question
– and I'm not saying Neil Sterling is an all-pro or anything.
No.
But
– and the jury's still out on whether or not he can block effectively because, you know, look, Julius wasn't much of a blocker. And look, Neil Sterling is a former wide receiver – but he's a willing blocker. You know, I give him credit. He's not afraid to kind of stick his nose in there a little bit. But, look, because you don't have the luxury of addressing every position every year, you know, there are positions that are going to get, you know, I don't want to say forgotten about, but go unattended to. That's just the way it happens. But because of the number of weapons that you have at the wide receiver position, I think it's okay if you're not able to address the tight end position because you've got a lot of weapons in the passing game at the wide receiver position.
But are you satisfied with that as well?
You're
wide
never
receiver,
satisfied.
You're never
satisfied.
You always, if there's somebody
like
else out there, a wide receiver, you go get them too.
Like I said
you're
before.
You're not satisfied anywhere.
If you could replace Jalen Ramsey, and then you replace him.
It's not like you're not looking to do that.
No, well, no. But, I mean, if you can get somebody better than him, you know, you go do that.
Wide receiver group is great. Don't get me wrong.
Look, if the corner that is – and I can't remember his name. He's the corner at Ohio State. Many people view as the best corner on the market.
Well, Hooker's the
Hooker
safety.
Is the safety. Yeah. And Apple
– no, Applewhite was last year.
Yeah, there's another guy there at Ohio State. But, anyway, if he's that good and if he's going to be better than Jalen Ramsey, I mean – you take him at four, right? I mean, look, you know, if the other guys that you like, you know, the two big guys are gone, you know. So, look, you always look to
– you can never have too – here's what you can never have too many of. You can never have too many offensive linemen who are good. You can never have too many big defensive linemen that are good. And you can never have too many corners.
No.
Those three positions. You can never have too many of them. Because they're the most important positions on the field outside of quarterback. And you can't have too many quarterbacks.
You can.
Because you only want one. Because if you have more than one, you might not
have
any.
You don't have one. Yeah. If you got more than one, you don't have one.
But the most outside of the quarterback, the most important position groups are the offensive line, the defensive line, and the corners.
Now, I'm all for, look, picking a tight end in round 4, 5, or 6, and all of a sudden you strike gold. You know, when's the last time this football team struck gold? You know, in
Telvin
the draft.
Smith would be Telvin, the closest late-round guy.
Yeah.
That you
get. Yeah. I mean, Telvin right. Smith would probably,
so we're
probably the best.
Like the top tight ends we're looking right now on Jaguars.com. O.J. Howard, Alabama, great player. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he's going to go. A lot of people talk. I haven't seen the Miami kid much.
Jake Butt at Michigan's very good.
That's a great name, by the way.
But he tore his ACL in the Orange Bowl.
That's right.
So he's going to be.
He'll get drafted much later.
But that might be a guy.
That might be
take,
a guy.
You know,
Aaron Colvin was like that. Remember?
Yeah, but Aaron Colvin hasn't turned out to be where you were kind of hoping him to be yet. You know, I'm not saying that he can't get there.
Flashes of being very good.
To Aaron Colvin, and take Aaron Colvin's name out of it. If you could draft a starting nickel in the fourth round, you'd take that all day long.
All day.
And that's what he is.
Yeah, all day. But, you know, the conversations about him being a first-round talent that was drafted in the fourth
take
round.
Take that away.
Yeah, that's not what it was.
No,
Marlon Humphrey is who you're thinking of, Ohio State.
Okay.
By the way.
Yes.
Corner. Yeah.
Good call. Good work.
That was Joe.
Joe
Fortunato.
Heck of a job.
Buzzed
Newcastle.
In my ear. That's real nice.
Marlon.
So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Combine coming up next week.
I'm going to dumb a double-check Joe because I don't trust Joe sometimes
like
when it comes
that.
To names like that.
Let's do that over the break. We'll come back and go around the National Football League. A lot going on. Even this time of year, there's a lot happening around the league.
Who did you say it was, Joe?
Marlon
Humphrey. That sounds not
no,
right.
No, it's Marshawn That's, Lattimore.
Yeah, Humphrey's a Bama guy, I think.
That's not what you said.
Yeah,
that's what
Joe.
You said. That's why I said I didn't trust him. That's why I'm glad
Good
I did.
Good point. Yeah. Way to go. Let's come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Tony Boselli actually jumped over Joe Jacoby in the pecking order of certainly of offensive tackles, but of overall players. Joe Jacoby last year was in the final 10. This year, he didn't make it to the final 10, and Tony Boselli did. So in that regard, in his first year, quote unquote, in the room with the selectors, where the selectors are debating Tony Boselli, he got ahead of Joe Jacoby, who, as everyone knows, played a long time, played for championship teams, and you know, has 4 Super Bowl rings.
Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald, a Hall of Fame selector, was on Jaguars.com Live. He had the news of the trades earlier this week, and we jumped in a question about the Hall of Fame room.
Nice. Nicely done, JP.
How about that?
Well done, JP.
Did you learn anything new there, Tony?
No.
No. Okay. You knew all that.
Well, I mean, I knew that I was top 10, and he wasn't, so. And do simple math, but guess what?
You see,
you know what matters? None.
Well, Tony should
have 5 guys were ahead of me.
If Tony was smart, you know, back in the day, they would have like given the offensive lineman, you know, him and Searcy and Wydell and you know Ben Coleman, giving themselves a nickname, you know,
something,
you know,
or if we could have got to the Super Bowl in '96.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah, that would have helped. Yeah.
So.
The champions would be a nice nickname. Mm-hmm. Right?
Neither happened, so let's move on.
Let's go around the National Football League. The Bucs cut Altron Werner today. He was due $6.5 million. They've got Vernon Hargraves down there playing well. What do you think of Werner? Anybody?
He's a good player when he's with Tennessee, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great, not bad.
You cut a guy like that because he's not worth $6.5 million.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I'm not going to jump at him. I'd rather have Makamura.
You've got better than that already on your roster, I think.
Fair enough. Marcus Mariota continues his rehab from that fractured leg he suffered against the Jags. Titans are trying to be overly cautious, they say, but he's walking in a treadmill pool. The 2-month mark is coming up, and he
Who
might
cares?
Start walking soon.
I mean, what does it matter right now? You're cautious. You have like months and months and months before training camp. You have a couple months before probably OTAs, really.
He's doing his rehab in Oregon.
Right.
You know, he's not in Nashville doing his rehab there. And, you know.
To heal.
Interesting. Let's move along to the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. It's a Thursday game, Friday Gold Jacket dinner, Saturday induction ceremony. The Cowboys and the Cardinals are the teams this year. Yeah, Jerry Jones, Kurt Warner, and we're having some mic issues with you, Jeff. So, Tony, what do you think of that game, Hall of Fame game? Yeah, we got you.
What do I think about the Hall of Fame game?
If you'd have made it, it'd have been the Jaguars. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it'd have been nice, but I guess that's not going to happen. So I think the players are probably thanking me for not making it because I don't think any player wants an extra preseason game
right,
at all.
Right.
But I think it's interesting that they changed it to Thursday night. And part of the reason they changed it to Thursday night, remember last year they had the concert on Saturday night after the Gold Jacket induction, or maybe it was Friday night, and the field got all messed up. So I think what they're saying, let's get the game out of the way first, and then we'll do all the festivities because everything's done in that stadium. So I think the field takes a beating, and they want to make sure that doesn't happen again. So I think it'll be good. It'll be fine. It's an extra preseason game. Yeah. The starters will play about a half a play at most, if any. I mean, they don't do anything.
No, it's fifth preseason game. You know,
the starters won't even.
There's already
too
many preseason games as it is.
There you go.
Way too many.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I played in, I want to say, two or three Hall of Fame games.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Played in one against the, I believe it was the Redskins when John Riggins was inducted. And then, obviously, the Panthers that we played in back in 95. And I want to say that there was one other year when I was with the Jets that we did that. And it's not any fun.
The Bears are trying to shop Jay Cutler for a trade. Would you?
Good luck finding a trading partner.
That salary and that headache? No thanks.
He's not very attractive now.
He's talking about retirement, too, if he doesn't.
Well, look, it's easy to have that conversation, you know, when he's probably already made, you know, $100-something million dollars. But the reality is that he's probably could make $15-plus million dollars again this year. I think that's what his paragraph 5 salary is.
He's
somewhere
not gonna,
right around 15.
He's not going to retire.
You know, so.
Is it guaranteed or can they cut him?
He just, you I know, it's not guaranteed. Him. I mean, they can let him go. Yeah, yeah. But the problem with Jay Cutler is that he has done nothing in his career to ever make himself
desirable, likable,
whatever term you want to use. You know, and I saw somebody use the term that, you know, which is probably true because the perception can be reality when it comes to a quarterback, is that he oozes the lack of leadership. And look what the quarterback position, you got to have it. If you don't have it, you got no chance.
Jason Peters will apparently stay with the Eagles, $9.5 million base salary, workout bonuses over $1 million. How does he compare to other left tackles?
Very
in the
good.
Yeah?
He is a very good player. I watched a lot of different games this year of different left tackles, and he is one of the best.
I can't believe the Bills
he
gave him
so
up.
He is so physical and athletic. I really like watching Jason Peters play. Good in run and pass.
Is he the best in the game today?
He's probably my favorite to watch. You know, Tyron Smith is really good. I thought the first 10 games of the year, and I don't know if age.
Give me the top three guys in the league.
Oh, yeah, I like this.
Tyron Smith, Jason Peters.
Who would be three? Would Dwayne Brown be in the conversation?
I don't love Dwayne Brown's game. He's a clamper. I don't love his.
What do you mean by that?
He kind of hugs that. He gets away with more holding than any player in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's been
effective, though.
Let me go down the list of different left tackles after those two jump out. I mean, Joe Thomas is a good player. I think Donald Penn's a good player.
Yeah, but Joe Thomas doesn't do anything in the run game.
I agree with you there, Donald Penn.
Who's the Cowboys' left tackle?
I already said him, Tyron Smith.
Yep.
I'm trying to think through. The kid at the Saints, Armstead, I think his name is. He's really hurt this year, but in the past he's been really good.
Tough, right?
Yeah,
there's not anybody that really jumps out. Because, you know, back when he played, you could roll off your tongue, you know?
And we talk about that on the Monday show throughout the season all the time about how left tackle and offensive line play in general, but especially the left tackle play is just totally different.
Tackle play overall is not great right now.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Can't pick three. Brandon Albert. Boom. There's your
Brandon Albert's a good player. Yeah. You know who's a good player? Juwan James, the right tackle from Miami. I like him a lot, too.
Yeah. Right tackle, though.
No, I'm just saying, good player. Whitworth, up there in age, but he's really solid. Just doesn't.
He reminds me of Mike Ken.
I was going to say the exact same.
Because
just gets in your
can't
way.
Bend his knees. He's crafty.
Just gets
okay.
In your way.
I mean, you sit there and you go, I can crush that guy. And also at the end of the game, you're
blocked.
Like, I didn't do anything against him.
What do you got on Russell Okung? They're not taking the option.
I wouldn't either. Not much there.
No, that was
not
a big option left. Too. Like 48 million or something like that.
20 million guaranteed.
Yeah, he doesn't have much left. Not much left.
You know, I'm walking through the lobby today. That's
you know
our
another good player is Joe Staley. He was hurt a lot this
Staley,
year, but Joe Staley's a good player.
Yeah, he's been a very good football
player.
Yeah,
good player.
There's our look around the NFL. And, you know, I'm walking through the lobby today here at Everbank Field.
Mm-hmm.
And in the lobby, there are televisions.
Thank you,
in the waiting room.
Telling us
well, it's always on, like, NFL Network, since this is the National Football League. There was an old game on. And I'm like, wait, that's a familiar-looking game. It was the Raiders at the New York Jets.
October of 1989.
Mr. Jeff Loggeman was on the field.
I was, yeah. It was my rookie year.
As a rookie. I looked.
Well, the reason it was on the NFL Network is because that's the first game that an African-American head coach coached an NFL game. That was when Al Davis fired Mike Shanahan after week four. Mm-hmm. And then promoted
there wasn't
Art Shell.
An African American coach until 1989.
Nope. Exactly right.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And they won. That was the first victory and the first game ever that was coached by Art Shell. They beat us 14-7.
High scoring game.
Yeah. Our offense with the Jets that game, they were really good.
But I was standing there watching for about 10 minutes.
We gave up 7 points, by the way, as a defense.
Pick six?
Yeah, pick six by Kenny O'Brien.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Love that, don't you, as a defensive player?
So I sit there for 10 minutes, and I see Paul Frey's get a sack.
Yeah.
I'm like, and Paul was here today at the stadium, funny enough.
Yeah.
And then Dennis Byrd got a sack. And I'm like, where's Jeff Loggeman?
No
the
sack
hair.
By me.
Yeah, we got blocked
no
one
sack.
Time.
No
yeah,
sack.
I had a half a
no.
tackle for loss when I watched.
I actually watched a little bit of it with you.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting there watching. I was going, you know, you look back on it. You go, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing that year. Hey, remember, at UVA, I was a middle linebacker. And then
it's a completely different position.
Oh, yeah, say, here, you're going to play right outside linebacker. And I didn't know what I was doing. I played hard. And then, sure enough, kind of figured it out along the way. But then the next year, they fired Joe Walton as head coach, which was the wise thing to do. And they hired Bruce Cosett, and Pete Carroll was hired as defensive coordinator. And they
and
said,
you're a defensive end.
Guess what? You're putting your hand down. I'm like, oh, great. Middle linebacker, right outside linebacker, to now putting my hand in the ground. This ought to be fun. Figured it out.
It worked out all
right. Turned out
figured
okay,
it out.
Right?
Figured
yeah.
it out. But it was a cool, it was a really cool game. And that, you know, when you watch games, you know, some of the old teammates, you sit there and you watch. And, you know, Tony and I could probably do that, you know, from the 95, 96 teams, you know, we rarely see any of those games, but to go back and watch, you know, we could probably remember
that might be a pretty
teammates
funny,
we completely forgot
that'd
about.
Be a pretty cool segment on Jaguars.com. You guys sitting down going through tape of
watching
the old
an
game.
Old game?
Yeah.
I'd rather watch the TV
or watch the TV
telecast,
version.
You know.
Yeah, because watching the tape's no fun. The telecast is what's fun.
Yeah, the telecast.
You can tell stories about guys and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, because you recognize faces, like, you know, today watching the game today, you know, Gerald Nichols, you know, Marty Lyons. Scott Mercero, you know, I mean, a lot of guys that, you know, were teammates, Troy Benson, inside linebacker, you know, you sit there and you watch guys that you played with a while back and you just almost, I don't want to say you completely forgot about them, but just hadn't been in your, you know, conscious thought in a long time.
All right, that's about it for Jaguars Thursday. We'll be in Indianapolis next week at the Scouting Combine. We'll have Jaguars Thursday from Radio Row. I'll be there. Maybe a little Prisco visit could be on the docket. And, maybe
him.
Tony Maselli,
possibly,
too.
Possibly. We'll see.
Oh, you got something else going on?
I might.
I mean, come on.
I was given the week off by Joe, so.
Wow. We'll see if we'll talk to your representation and see if we can.
There might be a state calling my name.
Oh, there might be. A stake or two. Well done, Logs. Jeff Loggeman, Tony Maselli, Hollywood, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.